Hello, everyone. Welcome to Silver and Sensational. I'm your host, Jessica Lynn Verdi. I'm the producer of this show, and I am just one of the many adulating fans. Is that a word, Lois?
Adulating. Oh, my. If I were a true narcissist, this would be all that I would expect. Well, nothing less than adulation.
You get it regardless of your narcissism. And our amazing host who we love is Lois Mills.
Hello, everybody. It's I, the Low or Lois, and welcome and thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to have quite a show today. What do you think, Jessica?
I think it's going to be very titillating, Lois. But before we get to there, another titillating thing that we have to talk about is our runway to getting 2,500 subscribers. We're chipping away. Once we get to 2,500 subscribers, we are going to kick off our Jones Road Miracle Bomb giveaway. So that's pretty exciting, wouldn't you say?
I would say so. It is damn exciting and a really, really fine gift. So Jessica, describe what they're going to be able to do with 12, not two, not four, but 12 colors.
I don't know who wouldn't be excited about this, because you might like splurge to buy one Jones Road Miracle Balm to see if it looks good on your skin, or you might try your friends. This gets you the whole Miracle Balm collection, every color under the sun, and the two that they just added to their lineup. And so if you're going on that trip, you might want to do the bronze or the sun-kissed. And if you're staying at home, you want to do Au Naturel. You have all 12, so you could do that. And I don't think you'll ever need a new Miracle Balm ever again with this gift. So all you have to do right now is click subscribe. And you might want to click the notification bell so that you know when we hit 2,500 subscribers, right, which you could help us get 2,500 subscribers by letting your friend know about this channel. But once we do hit 2,500 subscribers, we'll tell you how the easy ways you can get into that giveaway contest. Ugh, so jealous, Lois. I'm going to subscribe and resubscribe and submit to the giveaway and cross my fingers. But we'll probably order ourselves a Miracle Balm in that order as well, too.
Well, I just received the new Flushed. Ooh. And then I decided to get the new Sunkissed, so I'm doing that. It's on its way. Oh. So right now, I think I have about, when the new one arrives, I'll have about 6 of them.
And you'll use them.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, because there's so much, they last forever, and a few of the makeup artists I watch on YouTube, so far, everybody who's used them loves them, because it's sort of a treatment as well as giving your face some color, so it's definitely something that I think everybody's going to love.
Let your friends know that we're doing this really cool giveaway, mm-hmm, that we can't wait for you to win, and let's get back to the show. So Lois, we're on this journey of talking about sex. So the next few episodes that we're doing is all about the sex. And we're really talking to you fabulous over 50ers, whether you have been having sex and it's uncomfortable and you want to make sure it's good, or what are the health benefits, or you're just coming back into the sex world after watching our dating series and you're like, well, I don't know what's going on out there or if I can do all the moves. This is a particularly interesting topic we're covering today.
Yeah, and one that in doing my research, I really learned a great deal.
The thing that excited me about this too is I have fantasies, you know, but then I wonder, well, do I fulfill them? And if I don't, will I have not lived life to the fullest? And are they only fantasies, or is it something I need to do? So what is the sexual fantasy of it all?
Well, you know, they really are a normal part of life. Mm. And it doesn't make a difference whether they stay as fantasies or you try to act them out. It all depends on the person, I think, don't you?
Sure. You know, I don't think society makes you feel that way. I've always interpreted that sexual fantasies is this thing that you really desire, that if you accomplish it, it's like the holy grail of sex. And It's actually helpful to hear that maybe it can just be a fantasy and just allow that to live in the back of your head.
Well, yeah. You know, now, some of the most common fantasies are being dominated, which I would not, being the control freak, that doesn't have any appeal to me.
Sure.
Now, I'm not gonna let you people know what appeals and doesn't appeal to me. But the first one, given my personality, and we'll get into that later, being dominated isn't something that appeals to me. But
and good for you if any of these appeal to you. We're not here to judge sexual fantasies. No, we're just sharing are common. And, you
know, having threesomes, another big sexual fantasy. Having sex with other women.
If you're a woman.
Right.
Oh, actually, well, so does that apply to a man who's in a relationship, or does that apply to women fantasizing about women?
In the vein that I read it, it was women with other women,
sure.
You know? So
I think that's pretty common, actually.
Yeah, rough sex and, you know, sex in public places.
Oh.
So generally speaking, either you have sexual fantasies or you don't. And it's kind of like either you have, you know, it depends, again, on the person. Because some people, you know, they don't have sex at all. Doesn't bother them. Maybe they have sexual fantasies in its place. Maybe not.
I didn't think about that. Like, the asexual human may not be as, makes so much sense.
Exactly. And, you know, one of the things, and I don't know, I'd like to hear from the other Silvers out there, but, you know, I'm of the feeling and of the understanding that people in our particular generation, you know, didn't feel comfortable and certainly didn't talk among themselves about sexual fantasies.
It's not a very comfortable thing even today to talk about sex and what you think about it or what is interesting, you know. I actually talk about it quite openly, and my best friend also does, and we kind of bring that part of each other out, and he referred to me as sex positive, and I would have never called myself sex positive. But then I realized by just being someone who talks about it despite the taboo, that kind of embodies sex positivity.
Well, I have to say that I used to throw out more sexual innuendos when I was younger than I do now.
Sure.
I've just gotten away from it, you know, but in terms of actually discussing my sexual life with another person, that's something I never did. That's a subject that I never discussed with anyone.
So do you think that was a good thing? Did that help you? Because I think there's a lot of societal pressure in there too. Could you agree to that?
Societal pressure to speak or not to speak?
To not speak. Like, as a woman, yes. So let me just like paint this for you, because I'm similar. I know when sexual innuendo benefits me in a social situation, everyone thinks I'm the funny chick and not, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a societal thing. And then not talking about sex or being crude or being a pig or whatever. Could that have been the reason why you didn't share that? Or was it really just that personal to you?
No, it was that personal to me.
Ah.
You know, I don't like to discuss two subjects. I don't like to discuss money.
Ah.
Other than the general, that restaurant is expensive, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, in terms of personal finances,
I don't
like to discuss that. And I don't like to discuss my sex life. I just find those two things to be personal, and I don't really wish to share them.
I think that's wonderful, and I just wanted to clarify which it was, because I will say this, as I've matured into my lifelong partnership, which is what I'm hoping out of my current relationship, I don't want to tell people what we're doing, and I don't need to do that. So that has shifted for me as well.
I may, you know, generalize and say, as I have, and I think our last episode or one of the last episodes, you know, the number of men I encountered with erectile dysfunction.
Sure, that okay. is something maybe one could glean from this information.
But
yeah,
I, you know, I didn't get into the actual details or pin a name to anybody. Okay,
pin the ED on the donkey.
That's right. You know. So anyway, so I want to share with all of you out there, and I will be reading some of this because it's just too interesting for me to ad lib it.
Okay, I love that.
Okay, so this is from a psychologist and sex researcher by the name of Justin Lehmiller.
Oh.
And he found that 59% of women fantasize about sex with other women.
I'm really not surprised about that.
No, not
now,
at all.
I wish I knew that at a younger age, though, Lois.
Because you thought you were either gay or at least bisexual, right?
I mean, and yeah.
And it doesn't mean that at all.
I just wish that was more common knowledge, but that's all.
I really do, too, because, you know, so, again, I'm going to say these fantasies don't mean you're bisexual or that, you know, that you're a, what would you call it? You know, a lesbian afraid to come out of the closet?
Sure, sure.
So,
sure.
You know,
that's what I thought.
Well, just so everybody rest assured, fantasies don't always translate into behavior.
Whew.
And when you talk about 59% of women having fantasies of having sex with another woman, that's a pretty high percentage. So
that's normal at that point.
It really falls into normal.
I really
think so. Now, here's the part that I read. This is why I chose this person above all others to relate his findings, is because this one topic really caught my attention. Your personality may dictate your fantasies.
I find that fascinating.
I was fascinated. So please, I'm not going to go through all of it. Again, his name is Justin Lehmiller, Lehmiller, if you want to do a more in-depth look into it. But let me start with what he says. Overall, our fantasies appear to reflect who we are and seem to be designed to meet our own unique psychological needs. He found that people with different personalities tend to fantasize about very different things. And for example, people who are more extroverted and outgoing fantasize more about group sex and non-monogamy.
That is fascinating.
And this makes sense because they like meeting new people.
That's what a hell of a way to meet somebody.
Yeah. And then I'll go on to the next one for a moment. And then people who have more concern for the well-being of others tend to fantasize less about BDSM.
Whoa.
Infidelity and emotionless sex. Now, for those of us who don't know what BDSM stands for.
Thank you.
Actually, I think that you probably have never watched Billions.
Oh.
BDSM is an abbreviation for bondage and discipline, dominance and submission, sadism and masochism.
So it makes sense that someone who is a caretaker naturally
doesn't want to hurt anybody.
Wow. You know, I'm going to apply this to another very smart person who you may have heard of before, Esther Perel.
Oh, gosh, yes. Yes, she is a marriage counselor.
Correct.
Is she not?
Yes, and she does a TED Talk about cheating. And she talks about how the cheater is cheating with his psychological needs rather than on you. So if you never got with the bad boy, you're more inclined to find the bad boy that you're going to cheat with. Or if you were never with the sex pot, that you're satisfying a psychological need rather than cheating on the person, which is mm-hmm. really what Esther spells out.
Tell that to the ongoing sexual partner and see how they buy that line of thinking.
To her credit, she does say that you still have to make the decision whether you want to work through the problem or not. But she's not.
I want to hear, somebody's going to come home to their husband and say, I didn't cheat on you. I really was cheating on my psychological need for something I hadn't fulfilled in an earlier life.
I regret giving them an excuse, Lois. No, but that's exactly it. And just to it's a little off topic, but that's what she's talking about is why do we take it so personally that they've cheated on us? Because it used to be sex and marriage was a property transfer. And now, because it's not, it is an emotional transfer. So of course we're going to take it emotionally and personally. So I just thought it's certainly not going to deaden the feelings one experiences. But I feel like since sex is involved in both of those things, it's not surprising that your personality plays a role into what you desire ultimately.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, like as an example, I guess he believes that introverted people may be more outgoing in their fantasies.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, while anxious people might be more relaxed.
Wow.
Which I guess, you know, now this I can, you know, this I really understand because, you know, we all want to be something we're not.
Mm.
You know, we all want to be, if we're very introverted, you know, we look with admiration at someone who walks in a room and just, you know, extends their hand and says, hi, I'm, you know, blah, blah. And I can't wait to hear more about you. And, you know, I mean, there are those people that, you know, I know I can think of two people that I have encountered in the last 2 years that I say to them, one really should bottle your personality because even though I see them in fleeting moments, they have such an up effect for me. You know, I mean that you just want to bottle them. And sure. So I can imagine, you know, whether you're, you know, it goes along whether it's sexual fantasizing or just daydreaming, which in, you know, is pretty much fantasizing,
sure.
That you generally are something other than you are.
Yeah. So just to your point, I've had a great love-hate affair with introverts because I don't understand them and I want to so badly, but I'm drawn to them. So I really say when I meet an introvert that particularly interests me, I always say you guys are the great challenge of my life. And it's so, because they are. The conquering of the introvert. So it would make sense that what I love about this, Lois, too, is it doesn't really, these fantasies aren't nefarious. They're just what ifs. There's just an element of, well, I wonder if I was this, could this have been the way? Or what would it have been like at that point? Because ultimately, you're going to pursue what derives pleasure for you. And maybe if you do these fantasies, perhaps they're not going to be as good as what you think they're going to be. Does he talk about that at all?
Well, we go from fantasy to reality. And the first thing is, you know, a question. Now, I know what I would do, but let me ask you what you would do. Would you or should you share your fantasies with your partner?
Wow. It's a great question. I truly believe that if you're with the right partner, you can talk about these things and not receive guff from them. Because when you're with somebody that doesn't understand you're sharing something from a fantasy realm and they give you a hard time about that, I don't know that's someone you... I don't know that that's a long-term partner. I will say this, though. There's some fantasy I wouldn't tell him about because it's not important. But if there's ones that I could act out with him, then maybe.
Okay, I see where you're going with it, and I agree wholeheartedly with that. I would be very careful in what fantasy I would share with the partner.
If I have a fleeting, listen, we're not dead, you know? And if I have a fleeting thought of, oh, I wonder what that guy would be like in bed, I'm not going to share that with my partner. That's not fair to my partner.
Okay, my point exactly. Now, back to Lay Miller. He recommends starting slow by sharing a less adventuresome fantasy before delving into deeper or more taboo topics.
Interesting.
And then, so I'd say before that, before you even go there, before you open your mouth.
Your Pandora's mouth.
Exactly. You better be absolutely sure that you want to make that into a reality.
Wow.
So if you're now I'm going to tell you this straight away. I've never met a man who wanted to do a threesome with another guy in bed.
Sure.
Okay.
They're there. Those guys exist, but I can understand
that. If that's your fantasy, I wouldn't go there.
There's also some fantasies you should accomplish while not in a relationship. I think there are different fantasies.
I think that is very sage advice from you, my dear. Very, very sage. So now, I happen to know of someone, and I spoke of this long, long time ago because it was something I had written a story about, which can be found on medium.com. But I did know a couple, the wife who wanted to keep her husband very interested in keeping his weenie at home. And she was somewhat of a control freak as well. So she would find people for him.
Uh-huh.
And
wow.
Yeah. And so she did the vetting and then she brought them home and then they could have their threesome and he could have his fantasy and she was in total control of who he was with. And then there were times she did not want to participate. And so she sat in the living room while he and the vetted individual got it on.
Wow. It takes all kinds, Lois.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I mean, it's the only person I've ever known who has shared this. I mean, maybe there are other people. Maybe
Yoko Ono did this, actually, with John.
So. Yes. Well, Yoko and again, I'm not saying even though she's now in another, on the other side, as we say, wouldn't mention her name, but on the other hand, I may have some very pious friends who have been doing this for the last 40 years. You know, I don't know, but she was the only one that shared it. And and the reason I know it is because she actually vetted me.
Lois!
Yes, and when I wrote that story, I had three gals I know, all of them single, who wrote to me or called me and said, you know, that happened to me. So I guess there are married couples out there that, you know, but I was shocked. I thought I was the only one in the world this happened to. And then to find out.
Jesus. Yeah,
three other women I knew had the same experience. So,
dating apps actually really truncate this experience too. So they really do, because couples will be on there, and sometimes they're a little fishy, you know, because it'll be just the guy and he's cute and I match with him, and then he tells you, oh well, also my wife wants to be. I'm like, well, Jesus, just be upfront with it, because you know there might be a night where some other single woman's like, you know what, I could get down with the couple, let's go, you know. But I think some of the hush hush vetting of it all. Oh God, listen, Lois. At that point, he can just go. I do not need that man that bad, but good for them that they figured it out. What a great story.
Yeah. I mean, and I will tell you this, when he passed away, I knew she would follow within 6 months, and that is
really?
What happened. And they were not elderly when they passed. I mean, you know.
So they were just meant to be. They were the soulmates.
They were they really were, and they were a very adventuresome couple. Whether they climbed the Himalayas, whatever they did, I mean, they They lived life to the fullest. It was
wow.
Second marriages for both of them, and they really connected, you know? So listen, to each his own.
But, so I wonder, so that obviously means he had to express or to have cheated. So, you know, I love Justin's advice, like start slow. I do feel like anyone entering a relationship that's like potential to be long-term in general needs to have a conversation about sexual appetite and see if they like match up even, you know, because there will be frustrations down the road. And that's a really good precursor to, okay, how much can I share with this person? How much of the sexual fantasy is act outable with this person? And let's try this first. So you are kind of like, I love the idea of like, well, what about this next? Okay, well, what about this? Oh, you don't like that? Okay, great. What happens if after you do it, what are the odds that it's actually great or not?
Like, well, here we go, because this is the last of what I'll read from the good doctor.
Okay.
He said that he found most people who acted on their fantasies reported that the experience was at least as good, if not better, than they were expecting, and said that it improved their relationship.
Wow.
However, it isn't something you want to leap into or take lightly. There are things to be both gained and potentially lost making fantasy reality.
I'm sure.
So be sure to educate yourself on the rewards and risks before taking that step.
That's very wise from somebody who obviously did their research.
And probably experienced it as well. So I think as with anything else you do in life, you really, before you do it, have to weigh the risk-gain factor. So
I do believe ultimately that life is for living. That's why kind of like the fantasies in the back of my head always tickle me, like, you know, especially being a Catholic, I was raised thinking there's going to be a heaven and everything you want's in heaven. I learned down the road, this is where you get heaven. This is where you learn to live. You know, this is the opportunity to live. So I always wonder, kind of probably how a man wonders when he's about to walk down the aisle, is this really the last vagina I'll ever see? You know, I wonder, like, do I have to fulfill these fantasies in order to have lived fully? But in order to make that choice, I haven't done this yet. What's the risk and reward to fulfilling those?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
That's great.
So, well,
Lois, thanks for all this fantastic information. That fascinating story that I fucking loved. It's so good. What do you want to talk about next week?
Well, I'm thinking that next week we should talk about safe sex.
I think that's right.
Those of us over 50, you know, what I'm afraid a lot of people do, and in retrospect, you know, I've been one of them.
Wow.
Well, yeah. Once you're beyond the getting pregnant stage, you tend to minimize the steps you need to take to remain safe health-wise.
Yep.
So that's what we're going to talk about next week. And now we're getting more into the dating.
Sure.
You know, the single
dom of it all.
Yes. We really, I think, did, at least our viewers thought we did a very nice, wonderful job. We got lots of views on last week's Sex After 50. That was more geared towards long-term couples. And now we're going to talk about, next week, we'll talk about single women and sex over 50.
I think that's great. And we want to hear from you. What do you, since we're doing the sex world right now, what do you want us to talk about? What's something that interests you about this you haven't talked to your friends about? You can get in touch with us a bunch of different ways by emailing us over at silverandsensational@gmail.com. You can find us on social media at Silver and Sensational, on TikTok, on Instagram, Facebook. You could message, you can leave a comment here. But Lois, if our friends are watching us on YouTube, what should they be doing?
Well, of course, if you haven't done so already, you would really help us tremendously by subscribing. Please, and do that and share us with your friends and ask them to subscribe. And then, of course, we would love your comments in the box below. Do hit like and then touch the notification bell so you're made aware of when our next episode drops. It's almost 99.9% our dear Jessica make sure that we begin a new episode airing every Friday.
Oh, that is, it's no mean task. I'm just kidding.
So, Jessica, yes. Thank you so much to all of you out there. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate your support, and we look forward to having you again next week.
Oh, thank you so much for everything, Lois, and sharing this awesome information.
Bye now.